Hey everyone, this is the first message in the year 2021, and I am very excited, and I also feel the burden and the weight of the importance of this, because I have been praying for the last 2 months, in fact, much more than that. Lord, what happened in the year 2020? What transpired? You know it, I know it. And we all experience tremendous, tremendous hardship and challenges. And the last time I checked, Jesus Christ, He is in control. He is sovereign. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And He was not surprised that the COVID occurred. He knew this was going to happen. And He had the power and the foreknowledge to stop it, but He didn't. He let it happened. He allowed it. And hang on. Before you come to any conclusion about His character, let me share with you. I've been asking the Lord, why did you let it happen? Why all the turmoil and suffering and pain and upheaval? And I want to share with you towards the end of the message as to what I discerned from the Lord as to the reason for God allowing this to occur. Just as importantly, I've been praying, Lord, what do you have in store for us in the year 2021? What is your good purpose? You must have a plan for us. And do we have the eyes to see? Do we have the ears to hear? Do we have the mind to conceive what God has prepared for us in the new year 2021? So I want to share all these with you. The text I will be using today is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Just one verse. I have never done this before. I have never given a message or sermon on just one verse. So this will be the first, and I'm really excited about this. Someone said, if you could imagine the Bible as mountain ridge or mountains of the world, the book of Romans is like the Himalayas, and the chapter 8 in the book of Romans is like the Mount Everest. It is the pinnacle. It is the apex of God's glory and the difference Jesus makes in my life and in your life. Do you want to find out? I sure want to find out. So let's go there. Let's go to the Himalayas. Let's climb the Mount Everest. It's one verse, Romans 8, 28. So let us read it together in one voice. Okay? Are you with me? Let's go. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In all things, in good things, bad things, in pretty things, in ugly things, in glorious things and not so glorious things, in pains and suffering, in hardships and the pandemics and unemployment, in all things. What is God doing? God is working for the good. For whom? Of those who love Him. Those who have been called according to His purpose. Well, let me unpack it for you. Here's the theme and the goal, the big idea. Okay. All things may not be good, but God can use all things for good. All things may not be good, but God can certainly use all things for good. And I'm going to give you three reasons as to why this is true. And this is the three reasons for which you want to embrace all this. So, not all things may be good, but God can use all things for good. Number one, because God is all powerful for you. Number two, because God loves you. And number three, because God has a purpose for you. So let's get to the first point. All things may not be good, but God can use all things for good because God is all-powerful. Theologians like to use big ideas and big words. The word here is omnipotent. Omni meaning all, potent meaning power. God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. And that's why God can work all, God can use all things for good. Let me take you to a couple of Bible verses, places that talk about the power of God. First, Psalm 62, verse 11. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. You hear that? There's emphasis. God is all powerful because power belongs to God. Power comes from God because God is all omnipotent. One more place, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. It is He, that's God, it is God who made the earth by His power. With what? His power. Who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. Friends, God can use all things for good because He is all-powerful, He's all-wise, He's all-omnipotent, and He is good. He is working out His plan in your life, in my life, not only in good things, not only in happy things, not only in glorious things, but in all things, the bad, the ugly, the hard. He is working out His plan because He's all powerful. Okay, now, so let's ask the question. Again, the last time I checked, Jesus Christ, the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, He is seated at the right hand of God, whence He rules and reigns. He is in control. He is sovereign, meaning He is all powerful. He is not lacking any might or power or sovereignty. He has them all. So, He knew the pandemic was going to happen. He knew that your unemployment would occur. He knew that you would suffer health issues, maybe even lose your loved ones. He knew all that. And yet, He allowed all of that to occur. Once again, He may not have caused them all. Here's how I know this. We know from the Bible that God is not the source of sin. Because the Bible says, God does not tempt anyone. In black and white, God, it's not possible for God to tempt anyone. It's not possible for God to cause sin in your life, in my life. Similarly, evil does not come from God. And that's because God is all good. Not only is he all powerful, but He is all good. What keeps His power in check and balance is His goodness, His generosity. He is benevolent. So, why did God allow bad things to happen in our life? Because God is working out His plan. Again, hear me correctly, He did not cause any evil, any sin. But when you and I commit sins, when you and I or other people create evil in the world, God has the power and the sovereign will to trump and overpower our mistakes and the pain of our world. He has that kind of power. I want to take you to a confession of the church. The name is Heidelberg Catechism. Heidelberg Catechism. It was written many years ago during the Reformation time. Those who began to follow Jesus Christ, they were experiencing persecution. They were dying. They were being killed. Their loved ones were being persecuted and executed. And they were asking the question, oh, Jesus Christ, why are all these things happening? And they're looking for the answer, and they wrote this document called Heidelberg Catechism. In Lord's Day 10, here's the question. What do you understand by the providence of God? That word providence, meaning sovereignty of God, all-powerful aspect of God's nature. What do we understand that God is in control? What do we understand by that God is all sovereign and all powerful? Here's the answer. The almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds as with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Again, it's very nuanced, but strong. The writers, the authors of the document, the catechism, they're asking, how do we make sense out of our persecution? Our loved ones are being killed and executed. Where is God in all this? God is working out his goodwill in all things for those who love him, according to his good purpose. Let me give you two illustrations or examples, one from the Bible and one from a real life situation recently. The first example is from Genesis chapter 15. Now, Joseph, he was betrayed by his own brothers. His brothers were very jealous of him because Joseph was, well, he was a brat. No one liked Joseph because he thought he was better than anybody else. Anyways, his brothers decided to kill him, but they changed their mind. But instead, hey, let's not kill our brother. Let's just sell him off to Egypt as a slave. So that's what happened. Joseph, betrayed by his own blood, sent off, sold off as a slave to the land of Egypt. And for many, many years, he spent his years in the prison. And I wonder, even Joseph asked the question, oh God, why is all these things happening? Why all this evil coming my way? And what to make sense, how to make sense of all this? Fast forward, God made Joseph to be the prime minister of Egypt. Next to Pharaoh, Joseph was the most powerful person. And out of his influence and his leadership, that all these people from Israel, they came to Egypt during the times of famine, and their lives were saved, including his evil brothers and all of his family. And at the end of Genesis chapter 50, the brothers came and said, Joseph, please do not hold a grudge against us, because what we did was evil. And then here's what Joseph says in Genesis chapter 50. The evil you meant to harm me, God used it, God intended it for the saving of many lives now. Did you catch that? Did you hear that? You must grasp this. Joseph finally got it. The purpose for his suffering, the purpose for God allowing evil to happen in his life, so that God was working out his good. Those who have been called according to God's purpose, he in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Lives were saved. The entire nation of Israel was saved because God placed Joseph in control of Egypt. Second example, Lori Hatcher is a writer and a blogger, and she writes about her friend Billy. Billy was a man of God, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. At the age of 35, he was diagnosed with brain tumor cancer. He married his sweetheart in high school. He and his wife had two young children, and now he's been diagnosed with a brain tumor cancer, stage 4. Things weren't looking good. And Billy asked the same question, why is this happening to me? However, he chose to believe this. He chose to believe Romans 8:28. I believe God is all powerful. I believe God is all good. And I believe that God has a plan for me. even with this brain tumor. I sure didn't want my life to go this way. He was telling his family and his wife and his two children. He said, I never wanted this for me. But since I put my trust and my faith, unshakable faith in this God who is all powerful and who is all good, I'm going to choose to believe that God has a purpose. He's going to bring something good out of this painful brain tumor. The church leaders, pastors, when they heard about Billy's confession, his declaration, they said, Billy, could you come to one of men's events and share your testimony, tell your story as to how you are handling all this? He came and he invited his younger brother, Jack. Now, Jack had never said yes to Billy's invitation to come to church. Now, Jack was not a believer. Jack was not holding to the same faith in the same God, but Jack came. And after Jack listened to Billy's testimony, the pastor said to the men, hey, if any one of you want to find out more about how to have this relationship with Jesus Christ the way Billy does, so that you may have the power to overcome your circumstances, please come forward. Guess who came out first? That's right. Jack was the first one to come. And he said, I used to think Billy's faith was a crutch, something to lean on. But after observing my brother going through three surgeries, chemotherapy, and radiation, and having him, seeing him go through the way he is going through right now, I want that. He's got the real deal. And I want to have that kind of power and assurance in my life. So Jack began to follow Jesus Christ. Billy did not overcome his cancer. He died at the end. But before he died, he told his wife and two young children, the cancer was a bad thing. It really was. This is not how I wish my life to go. But God somehow used it for good. He brought his good plan and purpose out of all this. He didn't cause the cancer. He didn't want the tumor to happen to me, but it did happen, and he trumped over that. He overcame. He had the power to bring something good out of that ordeal. Let me speak to you personally, those of you who are going through tough times right now. You are saying, okay, God works good. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and those who have been called according to his purpose. You are saying, I believe that, but I don't know how to make sense out of what I'm going through right now. Friends, let me appeal to you. Be patient. Furthermore, here's an honest truth. You may never find out why. You may never get to see the good God is bringing out of all your pain and suffering. But will you trust the God of the Bible? Will you trust Jesus Christ? That he has the power to bring something good. Maybe one day, yes, for sure, one day, if not in this life, in the one to come, you will find out what God has accomplished through your life, through your suffering and pain and death. But will you trust him? What's the alternative? If God is not there, if God is not all powerful, and therefore, God does not have the sovereign will to bring something out of your pain and suffering, that's even more difficult to accept, isn't it? You are, I am, we are able to overcome and endure the hardship if there is a greater purpose, right? So friends, remember this. Not all things may be good, but God can use all things for good. Because he is all powerful. Second reason, because God loves you. Now let's look at the verse again, Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Those who love him. This is not a blank statement. God is all powerful to work out his plan for those who love him. question. Do you love the Lord? Do you love God through Jesus Christ? Well, here's what we know. It's not conditional in that if we don't love God, God will not work out His plan in your life. That's not what it means. Because the Bible says, the reason you love God through Christ is simply because God first loved you. That's right. It's not conditional. God's plan, His power, does not depend on your love. But He's qualifying in whose life God is exerting His power and sovereign will. Those who love Him. Let me take you to Romans 8:25. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God does not love you and me because we are lovable. He certainly does not love me because I'm worthy of His love. To the contrary, I know in the heart of my heart, I do not deserve God's love. I am a sinner, saved by grace of Jesus Christ. The only reason God loves me is because He's good, He's kind, He's generous. I am not lovable. I am not worthy of God's love. But God demonstrates, God displayed, God has proven His love for us. While we were still sinners, while we were waving our fist at God, saying, I don't want you, I don't want you. That's when Christ died. When we made God our enemy, that's when Christ died for us. The only reason I love God is God first loved me. And His love melted my stone, a heart of stone. He has softened me. He has melted me with His love. God's love is not unconditional. Rather, God's love is counterconditional. Let me repeat that. It's worth repeating, isn't it? God's love for you is not conditional. It is, in fact, counterconditional. And that's the kind of God that we have through Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going through, the hardship, the pain, the sorrow, and you are wondering, how do I make sense out of all of this? Remember this. Here is the Mount Everest in the Himalayas. Are you ready for this? Romans 8, verses 37-39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, all things may not be good, but God can use all things for good because He loves you, and nothing will separate you from God. Because of Christ's love for you. Third reason. All things may not be good, but God can use all things for good because God has a purpose for you. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed. Listen to me. To be what? To be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Here's God's purpose for you. The reason He allows all things to occur, good, bad, ugly, pretty, all things are happening. And He allows them because He has the power to use them all to shape you, to make you conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, His Son. God's purpose for you in the year 2021 and thereafter for eternity is that you become like Jesus Christ in your character, in your passion, in your lifestyle. God wants to have you conform to the likeness of Jesus Christ. I promise you that I'll share with you why I think God allowed the pandemic to occur in the year 2020. Here is my discernment. Number one, He allowed the COVID to occur. He allowed unemployment, the sickness, and all the bad things to occur. Not that He caused them, He let it happen so that He may use them, because He has the power, right? He has the power to bring good things in your life so that you may become more like Jesus Christ. I heard a wise Bible teacher say, when God allows tough things to happen in your life, it's one of two reasons. Number one, to lead you to Jesus Christ. Those of you who don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, those of you who don't feel, experience this power of God in your life, God is allowing the bad things happen in your life so that you may come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God is humbling you. God is humbling me. One thing for sure, out of the pandemic, we are not in control. Amen to that? We are not in control. We are not sovereign. We recognize, we realize out of the COVID-19 how feeble and weak we are. We are not in control. So God is humbling us. God is saying, look to me. I am in control. Will you humble yourself? Will you lower your position and say, God, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am weak and feeble, but you are powerful. Therefore, you have the purpose for me to become more like Jesus Christ. So that's the first reason Jesus allowed the COVID, to humble us. Second reason, to show you what's in your heart. Out of the COVID, let me just talk to the people in the church. Let me talk to those who consider themselves as Christians. You know, if you worship Jesus out of convenience or out of conviction now, don't you? You know now, if you are worshiping Jesus as a fan or as a follower. Fan is someone who dictates the relationship. Well, I'm going to follow Jesus if He does ABC for me. A follower is, Jesus Christ, you are the sovereign King. You have the control over my life and myself, and I'm going to follow you as my Lord out of conviction and out of commitment. Which one are you? Has your faith deepened in the year 2020 because you've been following Jesus even more passionately and zealously? Third reason. Well, let me put it this way. What is God's will for us, His good purpose in the year 2021? What does God have in store for you and me in the year 2021? I believe with all my heart, Jesus wants us to deepen our discipleship commitment to Him. Let us become a faithful, committed, devoted followers of Jesus Christ in Scripture, in prayer, in generosity, in community, in being sent out to declare to everyone that Jesus is in control, that He is the real deal. And to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that's why the elders at Mosaic House Church and I myself and my staff, we are aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit. In this new year, 2021, what God has in store for us, His good purpose and plan, is that we become disciples of Jesus Christ. Who make disciples? Who make disciples? Who make disciples? And that's the reason for which we're going to focus our message series in January, in February, and thereafter. How do we become disciples of Jesus Christ? And how do we make disciples of others? Let me conclude by reading another portion from the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 28. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Answer, we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing in creation will separate us from His love. For all creatures are so completely in God's hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be moved. Friends, take heart. Put your trust in the power of God, because all things may not be good, but God can use all things for good, because He is all powerful for you, because He loves you, and because He has a purpose for you. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit ourselves under Your sovereign power. We humble ourselves by saying You are in control, and therefore, whatever You allow to come our way, we have the trust and the confidence that You will bring about something beautiful and wonderful, even when we don't understand why or how. May Your will be done. May Your kingdom come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.